what was on my heart for this evening is to talk about how God has designed that life, spiritual life and natural life, flows through connectivity. And we're going to spend our evening looking at this. We know that God is the source of all life and power, right? All life and power comes from God. He is the beginning and the source of it all. But His life and power will flow in us only when we establish a connection with Him. Because the Bible says that all of us were dead in trespasses and sin. We did not have a connection. His life was not flowing into us at one point. Not until we were born again by the Holy Spirit. And through that Spirit, the Holy Spirit in us and our spirit established a connection with God, who is Spirit. Okay. Let's look at this truth. You know, large power lines, we're talking about sources of power. You know, the biggest power lines, the big metal, super tall, strong power lines, you know, they carry between 400,000 to 750,000 volts. That's a lot of power. But the lines on your streets that you see, the wooden poles, they carry about 7,200 volts. But did you know that the average appliance in your home only needs from 120 to 220 volts? So that's way more power than your home needs. And do you know that some older homes are only equipped with 100 amp service? That means that they would have a hard time. They could only run certain 220 volt appliances, not really any large heating and air conditioning central air systems. I want you to notice the difference in the wires. Can you see up here how the top wire, the 3-aught gauge, you see how much thicker it is than the 14 gauge? 14 gauge wire at the bottom is what is running through your walls to your plugs. And it runs your outlets, and it can run your ceiling fans, basically lights and fans and plugs. Now, they like to have your refrigerators or your dishwasher on a 12-gauge wire. Because the thicker the wire, the more power is able to flow through it. Its capacity for power to flow through it increases. So modern homes, at the top, most modern homes, the wires bringing power to the home are 3-aught gauge. In older homes, there was a 3-gauge. You can see, because they didn't have as many appliances back then, they didn't have as much use for electricity, so it didn't require as much power coming to the house. So the greater the need for power, the greater the you need a greater capacity to bring power to the house. Now, the way you take 7,200 power from the wooden poles that carry your power lines on your street down to your house is you have to have a transformer. Do y'all see this on the pole over here? This transformer? Do you see that little wiggly thing going up to the top? You see that's the connection point. That when they are ready to connect your service, they take that connection point and put it on the top wire, because it's the top wire that is the hot wire, the power wire. And then the transformer steps down that power, reduces the power from 7,200 volts to either 220 volts or the 100 volts that your home needs. And then, you know, it goes into a breaker panel. And then from your breaker panel, you establish a circuit that goes throughout your walls, wherever you need power. And do you realize that you have to make a complete circuit? You can't just take the power to that plug or to that room. You have to have another wire bringing that circuit back. It has to be a complete circuit everywhere it goes. And if you establish proper connections all throughout your house, electricity will flow continually. And then you, whatever you plug into it, will be able to utilize that electricity that is flowing through the circuits in your home. So the question I ask us is, since God is our power source, what is our point of connection with God's life and power? Faith is that connection. God has all the power for all of us, doesn't he? He has all the spiritual life all of us need. But just because you're human, do you experience God's power?
No.
Do you experience? No. Only those who hear his word and believe establish the connection. And that's when you connect with the living and active Word of God, like it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. You're familiar with that verse. But that living and powerful Word of God does not establish a connection in us until we believe. We have to believe to establish that connection with God. And this is confirmed by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the church of Ephesus in the first chapter, verse 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed. You see, when you heard the message of truth and when you believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. That's when the connection between ourselves and God occurred. When we heard and when we believed, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. And now God and us have a connection. His Spirit and our spirit are connected where we can receive his life in us. And it flows back and forth from us in him. So since it depends upon hearing his word and believing, we need to realize that the quality of our hearing affects the condition of our faith, doesn't it? If you go back, let's look at your hearing. What if your hearing is like the number 14 gauge wire at the bottom? Very thin. You hear a little bit. Can God's power be restricted by how little you hear?
Yep.
You see? Do you see how They actually thicken the wires by adding a wire instead of just making it more solid? Isn't that interesting? They add wires together rather than just making one solid wire. Well, that's a beautiful picture with the Lord, because this is what it says in 2 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 5. For this reason, give all diligence to add to your faith. And these are the things that we need to add to our faith. And I want you to think of it as these wires. Adding another wire each time. Making your faith larger. Increasing your faith and increasing the ability for God's life to flow into you as your faith is increased. So consider these things. An additional element growing your faith. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. Self-control, endurance. To endurance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. And then it says, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure. In other words, if you have all of them, look how thick your faith will become. Each one of those bonded together will allow much more of God's life and power to flow into you if they're working together. Faith and virtue and knowledge and self-control and godliness and perseverance and brotherly kindness and love. And with that much power flowing into you through your developed faith, you've increased your faith, you've matured it and you've strengthened it and grown in it, that power keeps you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of God. If you have just a little bit of faith, a limited amount of faith, it limits the amount of God's power that can work in your life. So, like I said, here's another way of looking at it. Picture each wire as adding to your faith. So do you see how they do it? here at the 14 gauge over here on the left, and it gets a little thicker each time towards the right. But do you notice how you see these wires here on the very right, the 2-aug and the 1-aug? They what they do is they add a wire, and all of those wires are in contact with each other, working together, allowing much more power to flow through them. And if we're not careful, our faith can be like the little 14 gauge wire on the left, rather than the much more developed, much more increased in the large high capacity wire on the right. And as long as wires are connected, as long as there is a connection, a proper connection, then power can flow through this connection. But have we all learned that poor connections cause problems?
Oh, yes.
Do you see what's happening here? Here on the left, has anyone ever experienced anything like this? Have you seen a fire in your house because you had a faulty plug or a... This can happen. This is a reason many houses burn down, because they have a bad wiring, and bad wiring can start good, and over time, because of corrosion or someone's been yanking on it wrong, you know how you're not supposed to just pull a wire out by grabbing it and just jerking it. You're supposed to get as close to the plug as you can to be careful to preserve the integrity of the wire. Because when you begin to get a bad corrosion, it causes electricity to do something other than it's designed to do. It will literally jump track, almost like a train derailing. Electricity will almost derail and run off and find another source, like a lightning strike, looking for the nearest thing that it can continue its flow. It will jump. And they call that an arc. You see it, what's happened here over on the right? An electrical arc. The electricity has literally jumped from one source to another, and look what it caused. An explosion. That's a guy. It's ducking that explosion of electricity on the right. And what can cause electricity to do this? Well, lack of maintenance. If we neglect to keep things in good order, to look at them from time to time. Do you see the corrosion here in the picture on the left? You see where those screws are? You see that? The wire is going into that base, and there's power supposed to flow through that connection. But the more corrosion is happening there, that power is having harder and harder time flowing there. And if you're not careful, it will arc from one of those wires right over to the next one. Because these connections can go bad and cause serious problems. Let me read this from this is a definition of what causes electrical arcing. All right? And we'll make an analogy from that here in a minute. Electrical arcing happens when an electric current flows through the air between two conductors. Like it leaves the wire altogether. You see what it's saying? And it goes straight through the air to another source. And as a result of the electrical breakdown of gas that produces an ongoing electrical discharge, this may be the result of gaps or breaks in the insulation, equipment failure, impurities such as dust or corrosion, and a normal wear and tear on the surface of the conductor. Or it could be that you put too many plugs in an outlet, or it could be frayed or exposed wires. You know, like we have problems here in Texas with sometimes mice or rats or squirrels chewing on, you know, wires in the attic. How many of you have had the experience where your battery terminal in your car got so corroded it you couldn't start your car, and you thought your battery was bad, and all it really was is you weren't making good contact with your battery cable? Anyway, when this breakdown happens, an electrical current ceases to travel along its intended path, and instead travels through damaged insulation from one conductor to another. Remember, a wire is a conductor. So it actually leaves the one wire through the break in the insulation and jumps to another, from one conductor to another, or it jumps in an arc to a nearby grounded object. It can jump to something else metal. That's how some people get electrocuted, because they're touching something else metal and the electricity has jumped, it's arced to that. Yeah, Curtis?
Also causes the wire sometime to melt.
Yep.
And then you go to turn on the light switch and the light don't come on.
Yep.
And you think, oh, well, the switch is bad or the fixture's bad. And all it is the little wire melted.
Yep.
And it's not making the connection.
So the uncontrolled conduction of electrical current and the ionization of the surrounding air is what causes the electrical arcing. In other words, it's happening gradually, and as a condition, when the conditions gets just right, it leaves the wire through the insulation, and boom, it's looking for somewhere else to go. And the intense heat, which causes the melting, the intense heat and light energy at the point of the arc is what they call the arc flash. And arc faults are caused by a variety of factors. And let's consider these things spiritually. They including insulation failure, accidental contact with energized equipment, poorly maintained electrical systems and equipment, preventing an arc from flash happening in the first place, or at least the possibility of it, is minimized by taking precautionary and preventative measures such as baseline testing and making sure your electrical equipment is maintained. You know, if you neglect areas in your spiritual life, if you neglect areas of prayer, if you neglect areas of meditating in the Word, if you neglect areas of fellowship, those areas will be compromised. They will deteriorate. They don't just stay the way they are. If you're not actively developing and maintaining your relationship with the Lord and good fellowship with other people, look, that the connection is compromised. It grows worse, and it can cause things to happen similar to what we're talking about. God's power in His life will flow properly when connections are made and maintained. We need to maintain our life of prayer. We need to maintain our meditation in the Word. We need to maintain fellowship. We need to maintain encouraging one another and serving other people. Because God designed life and growth to happen through connections. And before I go to the examples that I have for us to look at, I want you to think of a person. Now, let's say a person says, I believe in God. Are you supposed to feel good about that? But they're never in church. They're not connected to any other believer. They have no regular fellowship. They're an independent person walking around with faith. Is that spiritual life? No, they're not connected. God has designed that life will happen through connections. And if you're not connected with other saints, and if you're not connected with strong believers and have good other Christian relationships, God's life will not be flowing into you and through you like it could potentially. All right? Let's look at some examples of how what happens, and these are by God's design, what happens through things that are connected. Okay? Just some examples for you. What's happening here is one single sperm is about to connect with an egg. And what happens when that connection is made? Life is conceived. God designed it that way. He didn't just design it. It takes two, doesn't it? And He designed it that way that it is when the two come together and the two shall become
one.
Isn't that beautiful? He designed so new life is conceived when a connection happens. In this connection. That's one example. How about this connection? You see what's happening at the top left? Here is a honeybee. You see what he's covered with? What his legs are covered with there?
Pollen.
They're pollen. That's pollen, what you see there on his legs. And he is actually getting nectar. And while he's getting nectar from an apple blossom, he's covering himself with pollen. And then what does he take from that particular blossom? He flies to another tree and brings contact from one tree to another. And when the connection between one tree and another through this beautiful instrument of either a bee or a other form, other insects, and sometimes even the wind can help this. But when the even trees that are near each other become connected, what happens? Fruit. That's how fruit is formed. You know, you can have an apple tree that will have no apples if there's no pollination. Just because it's an apple tree does not mean it will produce apples. It takes a pollination, a connecting from other trees with that tree to produce fruit. Or other blooms to produce fruit. And then, of course, not only does it produce fruit, look at the connection that we get to enjoy from the fruit. We don't enjoy the fruit just looking at it, although it's pretty to look at. The real fullest enjoyment of it comes when we make a connection with our own taste buds and that beautiful fruit. And in that connection, we get to enjoy what God designed as a blessing for us. Look what happens here. Isn't this amazing, the way he designed our skin? Because skin can be cut open and separated so that they can work on something. But then when they bring it back together, and if they sew it back together so that it's making contact, it will literally heal itself and grow back together as long as the two sides are making
contact.
Isn't that beautiful? And the same is true not just with our skin. The same is true with our bones. You know, you can have a break in the bones. And what do they want to do? They want to set the break. Because what they want to do is they want to get those bones as close together as they can. Of course, they want to straighten them out. But one of the things that they want to do is they want one end of one bone to be in contact with
the other
end. Because if those bones start to make a connection, they begin to heal themselves. And if you'll read about that, if you want to read about something fascinating, you should read how God designed the human body to heal itself. Do you know that the healing takes place from other cells that rush to that area and begin to form, other stem cells form? And it's like inside your body, you have an EMS, an emergency medical source. And these other cells run to the aid of that area when they're and God designed it this way. It needs to be connected with other cells and things happening. And this is by our Heavenly Father's wonderful design. Here's a form of a connection. What you're seeing on the lower left here is two atoms, a sodium atom and a chlorine atom. Now, sodium is a toxic metal, and it's very flammable and explosive. If you take sodium, raw sodium, and you drop it in water, it will explode, burst into flame. It's very volatile. And chloride is a poisonous gas. But God designed it when these two separate items come together and make a connection and form a compound, what it produces is table salt. Something so common to us and so important to us is formed by the connection of two atoms. And in what you know, when Jesus said that if the salt has lost its savor, it's therefore good for nothing, because if there's no other use. Do you realize that this connection becomes so complete that there's nothing else that can be made or added to it? Some elements you can add a third connection or a fourth connection, and they're multiple to form various metals and other things on your scientific tables. But this element, this connection between sodium and chlorine is so complete, it's the only thing that can be made with it. Once it's become salt, that's it. Nothing else can be made or it can't be changed again. But it's made through this beautiful design of connection. You know, it takes contact, doesn't it, to make connection. And so how, you know, we, especially in a spiritual sense, nothing spiritually is going to happen in the people that we're concerned about if they're not making contact with spiritual life. So is it the fact that they come to church is there some mystery in it? No. You know what coming to church does? You're coming together to make some contact. You're establishing a connection. You get to know people. And isn't it sweet? Just the power of two hands coming together. You know, I don't get the same warm feeling when my two hands come together. But when my wife and my hands come together, that's a different story. You know, something happens in that connection that is just wonderful. And God designed it that way. Here's another example of something that happens when light connects with water vapor. Isn't that amazing? We've all seen it, and we never get tired of seeing it, do we? You know, what happens here is light, which is passing through air, suddenly strikes air that is full of water droplets. And the light literally penetrates the water droplet and starts bouncing around off the inside walls of the droplet. And it allows the light to be broken down into all of its colors. And it bursts back out of the droplet. And we see the rainbow. Because the full spectrum of light is all of these colors there. From purple to blue to green to yellow to orange to red. You know, these are seen.
There again, that was designed by God.
All designed by God. Let's look at what Paul said about the connections and the importance of connections for the church. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul wrote that from him, from Christ, who is the head of the church, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So the body is designed to grow by every connection. Yeah, and you know what joints and ligaments are? Particularly, they're connectors. How important are they? Let's take your finger. Everyone hold up your pointer finger. How many joints are in that finger?
Three.
There are three. What? Now I want you to imagine that there's no joints. It's just one thing. What would you do with it? Poke things? Just poke something and put it through your mouth? You see? And what about this, your elbow? I want you to look, get your elbow. There's a joint there, and there are ligaments. What if there was no joint, and you just had one straight piece with no joint? How would you feed yourself? If you could not bend your arm, how you can't even get it to your mouth? That's how important it is that we be connected. God designed our life and these bodies where we They function fully only as they are connected with joints and things. Yes, Rudy.
Brother, necessity is the mother of invention. If the arm were unusable, you can always go down to the plate.
Get
off the plate.
Yep, yeah, we would find our way. But you could only go down to the plate if you had a hip joint. You know, think about our ability to move.
Our vertebrae. It's
amazing. All the joints that we have in our body to do what we do is an amazing thing. And how sad. How sad that there are men who believe that all of this dynamic ability to move just happened without any direction over billions of years, and it just evolved. So there's no one to thank. There's no one to study. But if you actually believe that all of this dynamic connectivity was designed, then you can think about the designer. You can think about how wonderful he was, how wise he was, how powerful he was. And it can fill you with awe and wonder. And you can bless him for his wisdom. Men that don't believe that have no one to thank. How do you thank chance? How do you thank random? We may not know how God did it or how long it took. But let me tell you, he designed it. Like yesterday, I sent out a little text. I didn't send it to everybody. But taste. I want you to think about taste. The ability to taste. Because the scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yes.
Now, if taste was designed by God, I want you to think of how many different flavors you're aware of. I mean, think of how many flavors. And if it just happened, if no one created it, if no one directed it, there's no one for you to think. It just happened to develop this way. But think about God. If God designed it that way, if he created your tongue in a way and filled your tongue with the ability to taste so many flavors, then he created the many different flavors for your tongue to taste. Why would he do that? If he was just concerned that you get some nutrition so that you could survive, that'd be. I mean, if you're going to make it simple, you could make it basic. Two or three flavors, you know, you could eat, you could stay alive. Why would he make such a variety? Why would he give your tongue such a dynamic ability? Why would he do so? I'll tell you why. Because he is good.
Yes.
Because he did it for our enjoyment.
Yes.
And if you will study it, you will see he doesn't just make it functional. Yes. He makes it blessed.
Amen.
He makes it good. And can you see now why he looked at what he made? When he wanted to make it enjoyable, he wanted to make it such a blessing, and he studied what he had made and anticipated that we would enjoy it so much that he would say, oh, and the Lord saw all that he had made, and it was good. Because that's what he wants us to experience. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And give him credit for that. He's wonderful in that way.
And without the tongue, we couldn't even communicate.
Well, we couldn't. And that would be good for some people, but not very many. No, I'm teasing.
Now,
let me... Do you see what this is? What are we looking at picture at?
A bridge.
And a bridge is a connection between two areas that are separated by a barrier. Right? Do you realize that sometimes God wants us to make the connection? Some connections are man-made. We connect. The ability to communicate is made by stretching wires or launching satellites and creating the ability to communicate and interact between different areas. And sometimes the Lord is wanting us to be the one making the connection. Now, not, I don't know about this type of bridges, but the bridge like in the Mississippi, over that one of the first largest bridges that crossed such a large river was in St. Louis, crossing the Mississippi River. And on certain bridges, the way you build the bridge is you start from both sides. And both sides reach the middle. You know, if we want to be a strong believer, a Christian making connections, we need to build our side. Even if the other person hasn't even started yet. What are we saying? We want a connection with you. We're offering you the ability to walk with us and to become a part of us. And maybe the other person, once they see that you've reached out, you've made the initiative, then they'll respond and meet. What do we say? We call it meeting each other
in the middle.
In the middle or halfway. And sometimes God wants us to be the initiator of making these connections. I want to end with these three scriptures tonight. Proverbs 6. Well, actually, not three. It's three slides. It's not three scriptures. It's one last scripture from Proverbs 6, 16, 19. It's just an emphasis of how important connections are to God. Verse 16 of chapter 6 of Proverbs starts this way. There are six things that the Lord hates. Seven that are detestable to him. So that's pretty serious. If Solomon is going to describe God hates these things, let's see what's on the list. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and this one, and one who sows discord among brethren. You see why God would hate that? He has designed that life flows through connections. And you know what discord does? It breaks connections. And God hates someone who goes around breaking connections between people, because he has designed the church to grow by every joint and ligament, the way they work together in cooperation and in unity, in community, where we experience the goodness of God in ways that we weren't. Okay? That's tonight's study.
Brother Allen.
Yes, sir.